By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabi Allah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ya Nurullah. Today again, like every day, it's a beautiful day. Every day is a beautiful day, irrespective of the weather. You need to thank Allah Azza wa Jalla for whatever weather you get. You know, sometimes we think it's raining, it's cold, it's windy. But then again, for many people around the world, that in itself is a blessing as well. And whether it's warm, whether it's cold, whether it's raining, whether it's snowing, every form of weather is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we need to thank Allah. Thank Allah that Allah has given us this blessing of the weather, the blessing of fresh air, the blessing of life. So if we every morning we thank Allah Azza wa Jalla, then inshallah start that day in a beautiful way, inshallah. Like every day on Rise and Shine, we're going to begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Salam rahmatullahi ta'ala stated that he visited his brother Sayyidina Usman rahmatullahi ta'ala, who was looking very happy, and he was saying that I was privileged, Allahu Akbar, how lucky, I was privileged to see the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in my dream last night. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave me a container filled with water. I drank water to my fill and I can still feel its coolness. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Salam rahmatullah then asked him, how did you achieve this rank? How did you achieve this rank? And he replied, by virtue of reciting Salat al-Nabi in abundance. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This particular parable is of a pious person who saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream, and his father told him. But I know of an incident that happened a few years ago in my hometown, in which a sister had seen the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in her dream. And so the sisters went round to try and find out that, you know, what is it that she does? What wazifa does she do? What extra ibadah does she do? To find out that maybe we can find something. And they sat down with her and asked her a lot of questions. And, you know, what do you do? What do you do? She said, nothing really. What I do is I fill in the Nek Amal card every day. So they said, okay, well, maybe that's the reason. But which ones do you fill in every day? Which is the ones that you do every single day? And she went through them one by one. And when she came, there is a Nek Amal in the Nek Amal booklet. And it says in there, pious deed, to recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 313 times every day. And she said, you know, I make sure that I do this one where it says, recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 3,313 times every day. And so every day, alhamdulillah, she recited Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the sisters, they were convinced that, you know, through this blessing, maybe this was the reason why she was blessed with the visitation of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in her dreams. And who does not want to have that blessed vision? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So try and recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in abundance. Make it part of your daily routine. Remember the blessings. Whenever you go to a weekly ishtima, you see a program on Madri channel, the Mubalik will give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak. Remember that blessing. Act upon that blessing and then pass that blessing on to others. So hopefully other people. So for example, if you were to say to other people that, look, you know, I heard on Madri channel that some people are fortunate that they see the blessed Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dreams, if they recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in abundance, it may encourage them. They will get the blessing, they will get the virtues, you will get also the reward of passing on this good deed to others as well. So let's make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like I've said many times before, who knows that one extra Durood e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the day of judgment. Let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran with the translation. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا۔
یا ایہا النبی لم تحرم ما احل اللہ لک تبتغی مرضات ازواجک۔
اے غیب بتانے والے نبی، تم اپنے اوپر کیوں حرام کیے لیتے ہو وہ چیز جو اللہ نے تمہارے لیے حلال کی؟ اپنی بیویوں کی مرضی چاہتے ہو؟
واللہ غفور رحیم،
اور اللہ بخشنے والا مہربان ہے۔
قد فرض اللہ لکم تحلت ایمانکم،
بے شک اللہ نے تمہارے لیے تمہاری قسموں کا اتار مقرر فرما دیا۔
واللہ مولاکم وهو العلیم الحکیم،
اور اللہ تمہارا مولا ہے اور اللہ علم و حکمت والا ہے۔
وَإِذْ أَسَرَّ النَّبِيُّ إِلَى بَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِهِ حَدِيثًا فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَتْ بِهِ وَأَظْهَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عَرَّفَ بَعْضَهُ وَأَعْرَضَ عَن بَعْضٍ۔
اور جب نبی نے اپنی ایک بیوی سے ایک راز کی بات فرمائی، پھر جب وہ اس کا ذکر کر بیٹھی اور اللہ نے اسے نبی پر ظاہر کر دیا، تو نبی نے اسے کچھ جتایا اور کچھ سے چشم پوشی فرمائی۔
فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَهَا بِهِ قَالَتْ مَنْ أَنْبَأَكَ هَذَا قَالَ نَبَّأَنِيَ الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ۔
پھر جب نبی نے اسے اس کی خبر دی، بولی حضور کو کس نے بتایا؟ فرمایا مجھے علم والے خبردار نے بتایا۔
اِن تَتُوبَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا۔
نبی کی دونوں بیویوں، اگر اللہ کی طرف تم رجوع کرو تو ضرور تمہارے دل راہ سے کچھ ہٹ گئے ہیں۔
وَإِن تَظَاهَرَا عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ۔
اور اگر ان پر زور باندھو تو بے شک اللہ ان کا مددگار ہے، اور جبریل اور نیک ایمان والے، اور اس کے بعد فرشتے مدد پر ہیں۔
عسى ربه ان طلقكن ان يبدله ازواجا خيرا منكن مسلمات مؤمنات قانتات تائبات عابدات سائحات ثيبات وأبكارا۔
ان کا رب قریب ہے اگر وہ تمہیں طلاق دے دیں کہ انہیں تم سے بہتر بیبیاں بدل دے، اطاعت والیاں، ایمان والیاں، ادب والیاں، توبہ والیاں، بندگی والیاں، روزہ داریں، بیاہیاں اور کواریاں۔
یا ایہا الذین آمنوا قو انفسکم و اہلیکم نارا وقودہا الناس والحجارہ عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون۔
ایمان والو، اپنی جانو اور اپنے گھر والوں کو اس آگ سے بچاؤ جس کے ایندھن آدمی اور پتھر ہیں، اس پر سخت کرے فرشتے مقرر ہیں جو اللہ کا حکم نہیں ٹالتے، اور جو انہیں حکم ہو وہی کرتے ہیں۔
یا ایہا الذین کفروا لا تعتذروا اليوم،
اے کافروں آج بہانے نہ بناؤ۔
انما تجزون ما کنتم تعملون،
تمہیں وہی بدلہ ملے گا جو کرتے تھے۔
صدق الله العظيم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. اللہ, یو نو اگین دا قرآن از سچ اے بلیسنگ, ازن اٹ؟ اینڈ یو نو لسننگ ٹو دا قرآن, ایون سم ٹائمز وین یو ڈونٹ انڈرسٹینڈ اٹ, مے بی دیز اے لاٹ آف آور ویورز ہیئر دیٹ بیکاز دا ٹرانسلیشن از ان اردو, دے ڈونٹ انڈرسٹینڈ اردو. But just listening to the Quran, especially when it's a beautiful recitation like that, it just comforts you, it just gives you peace. And that's one of the miracles of the Quran, that even when you don't understand it, it still has an impact on the heart. It still comforts you. It still gives you that peace and tranquility that you're constantly searching for. And, you know, towards the end, I was like closing my eyes and I was like, you know, almost like switching down and, you know, just relaxing. And this again is the beauty of the Quran. And I think we need to make it part of our daily routines. Fortunate are those people that are able to read the Quran on a daily basis. And, you know, I just want to say that the Quran is not just a book for Ramadan. A lot of people read the Quran during the month of Ramadan. They read the whole Quran numerous times during the month of Ramadan. But unfortunately, after the month of Ramadan, it's put on the shelf and it stays there for 11 months. The Quran is not a book for Ramadan. The Quran is a book for every day of our lives. And Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawah Islamiyah, we mentioned early on, the Pious Deed booklet. In there, Amir al-Sunnah guides us and instructs us to read at least 3 verses of the Quran every day with translation and commentary. And if we make that part of our daily routine, then inshallah Azawajal will see a difference. And better still, if we could read them 3 verses of the Quran with translation and commentary collectively as a family, so that everybody can benefit from it. And we take turns on who's going to recite today, then inshallah Azawajal, the whole of the family can benefit as well. So let's try and make a good intention on this beautiful day to start reciting the Quran on a daily basis, recite it with the family on a daily basis, and take the benefits of the Holy Quran. Before we go to the kalam of the day, I just want to very briefly introduce the topic of the day. And the topic of the day is the destruction, the evil consequences of lying. Now, we all know that lying is wrong. We all know that lying is a sin. But what happens is it's become ingrained in our lives so much that we will admit that lying is a sin, we will admit that lying is wrong, and yet we continue to lie. And it's a disease that's affected us in such a way that we are affected by it, but we don't even know it. We say, no, I don't lie. And yet we are. Be it in what we may think are important matters, but also in very trivial matters, where even when you are joking with someone, or you're telling someone a story, you exaggerate the story just to make it sound better and make it sound more interesting. And so we start lying. So today, inshallah, we're going to talk a little bit about the evil consequences of lying. And I say a little bit because whenever we do these programs, 1.5 hours seems like a long time. But normally when I get towards the end of the program, we realize that, look, there's so much that we need to study on this. We need to go away. We need to read the books. We need to acquire the knowledge. And if you go on the website, www.dawatislami.net, go to booklets or go to pamphlets. There are many books there, many pamphlets there, talking about these diseases of the heart. And one of these diseases is the disease of lying. So let's go to the kalam of the day. Inshallah, when we come back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Aqa bulalo Madine, Madine. Aqa bulalo Madine, Madine. Gumbade khazra dikha ay akhiri nabi, Gumbade khazra dikha ay خزرا دکھائے آخری کرتے ہوئے کعبے کا میں طواف, آ کر کروں روتے ہوئے کعبے کا میں طواف, مکے کے جلوے پھر دکھائے آخری نبی, پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی, میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی, پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی, میرے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی, میرے گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی, رب کی عبادت کی مجھے توفیق چاہیے, رب کی عبادت کی مجھے توفیق چاہیے, فرمائیے حق سے دعا اے آخری نبی, پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی, میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی, پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی, آقا بلالو مدینے بلائے, آقا بلالو مدینے, آقا بلالو مدینے, آقا بلالو مدینے, بعد آپ کے غرگز نہ آئے گا نبی نیا, بعد آپ کے ہرگز نہ آئے گا نبی نیا, واللہ ایمان ہے میرا آخری نبی, پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی, میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی, پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی, گنبدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی, پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی, آقا سنگری جانیوں کے روبرو ہو کاش, آقا سنگری جانیوں کے روبرو ہو کاش, ایمان پہ میرا خاتمہ اے آخری نبی, پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی, میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی, پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی, میرے شفاعت کی مجھے خیرات خیر سے, دے دے شفاعت کی مجھے خیرات خیر سے, روز قیامت بخشوائے آخری نبی, پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی, میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی, پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی, آقا بلالو مدینے, آقا بلالو مدینے, آقا بلالو مدینے, آقا بلالو مدینے, اب وقت رحلت آ گیا عطار زار کا, اب وقت رحلت آ گیا عطار زار کا, جلوہ دکھا کلمہ پڑھائے آخری نبی, پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی, میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری وادِ خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی،
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ، بیوٹیفل کلام. ویوز آف دی چینل، بیفور دی بریک وی مینشنڈ دیٹ وی ور گوئنگ ٹو ٹاک اباؤٹ لائنگ ٹوڈے، اینڈ ایم گوئنگ ٹو گیو یو این ایونٹ دیٹ ٹوک پلیس ڈیورنگ دی لائف ٹائم آف دی پروفیٹ آف اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. ا پرسن کیم ٹو ہیم اینڈ ہی سیڈ ٹو ہیم دیٹ آئی وانٹ ٹو بلیو ان یو، آئی وانٹ ٹو برنگ ایمان اپون یو، آئی وانٹ ٹو بیکم اے مسلم، but I have four bad habits. I have these four bad habits. I drink alcohol. I'm an adulterer. I commit adultery. I'm a thief and I lie. People say to me, he said, that you consider these things forbidden. Where I do not have the ability to abandon them, I'm so used to doing this. However, I will make a promise and I will fulfill them, that promise, to leave one of them sins for your sake. Please give me an advice on to which of the four I should give up. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his wisdom, he said to him, do not lie. Do not lie. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say to him at that moment, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not, you know, drink alcohol. He said to him, do not lie. That was the instruction. The man, he accepted Islam and he made a promise never ever to lie again. When he departed from the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because a person in that society, in that community that's been committing them sort of sins, then he has certain friends and associates. And he met one of his friends that offered him alcohol. And he thought to himself that if the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam offers me alcohol, or says to me afterwards that did you drink alcohol, then I can't lie and I'd be embarrassed to tell the truth. So nah, he refused the alcohol. He then had the ability to commit adultery. But again, that same thought came to his mind that if I commit adultery and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks me, did you commit adultery? Even though I'd not made a promise to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I would be embarrassed because I have to speak the truth now. I will be embarrassed to say in front of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I committed adultery. And so he refrained from it. And then he had an opportunity to steal. And again, that same thought pattern came in his mind that he realized that if I do this, then how will I show my face? And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked me, did you commit any of these sins? What will I say? So he refrained from them sins. And the very next day, he came back to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he realized that by not lying, by telling the truth and making a promise to tell the truth, he was saved from all of them sins. As a result of that, he sought forgiveness in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from all of those sins. We can see here that when a person makes a firm commitment not to tell a lie, as a result of that, he's refrained from many sins. He's refrained from many sins. And I think we need to ponder over that. That if, you know, we always speak the truth, then many things will stop happening that are wrong. And nowadays, we find it so easy to speak the truth over trivial matters. Have you ate? Yes, I've ate. Well, you haven't. You haven't ate anything, and yet you'll say you eat. Why? Because you fear it's the thing to say. You know what you should be able to say? No, I haven't ate, but I don't want anything, so don't worry. You know, and then we say, did you go to the weekly ishtama this week? Yeah, I went. Oh, but you didn't. But you're embarrassed to say that you didn't go to the ishtama. Now, either go to the ishtama, or at least say, look, I couldn't because I was busy. Why are we multiplying ourselves with these sins of lying? You know, we should not also ask people certain questions. We should refrain from asking people certain questions because it could put them in a predicament of where they may feel that they're obliged to lie, but at the same time, we shouldn't lie. For example, if someone was to say to me that this cup of tea that the technical cameraman, mashallah, may Allah reward him, made for me today, if he was to say to me, is there enough sugar in there, for example? And for me, maybe there was too much, maybe there was not enough. And I was to say, no, it's perfect. I'm lying. Because it wasn't perfect. Maybe I wanted more sugar, maybe I wanted less sugar. And so, you know, we should refrain from asking them questions. But we also should make sure that we don't commit the sin of lying as well. So don't put someone in a predicament where they end up lying. But also yourself, don't lie. And we also see from this particular event that took place in the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if we make a firm determination never ever to lie, then inshallah azza wa jal will be successful in many other ways as well. I remember reading about the life of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah ta'ala, and in his lifetime he was asked that, you know, this was when he had succeeded, he'd gained the knowledge and he became a teacher and he was spreading this knowledge to people, and people used to come from many places to learn knowledge of the deen from him. And he had many, many disciples. And someone once asked him, what is the basis of all of this truth, of all of this success that you've got? What is the basics, the foundation of this success? And he said to him that throughout my life, I've never, ever told a lie. And he believed that that was the reason why he was successful. And then he went on to narrate the event that many of us have heard, in which Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Ramatullah, when he was leaving his home, and the mother made him promise never ever to tell a lie. And then on the way, the robbers, and he appealed to the robbers, and he said to them, look, you know, I never lie. And they realized that they were wrong. And so on and so on. It's a famous event. Many of you have heard it. And inshallah, if you've not heard it, then maybe on another program, we'll mention it. But, you know, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah ta'ala, he said that was the basis, the foundation of his success. And it's something for us to ponder over, that maybe in our lives, we are struggling, we are facing difficulties, but we've got into this bad habit of lying. And Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran warns us against this and tells us how serious this matter is. And I'm going to give you some ayats of the Quran. Surah Al-Hajj, verse 30, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, He orders us in the same way that Allah Azza wa Jalla orders us to read our salah, to fast in the month of Ramadan, to perform the Hajj if we are financially and physically capable. Allah Azza wa Jalla orders us and avoid false speech. Stay away from false speech. In another ayat, Surah Al-Na'l, verse 105, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, only those who do not believe in Allah's signs attribute lies and fabrication, and they themselves are liars. They themselves are lions. Alama Mulana Mufti Sayyid Muhammad Nimuddin Barabadi rahmatullah ta'ala said that lying and blaming are the jobs of dishonest people. You know, blaming someone when it's not their fault. You're trying to deflect your mistake onto someone else by lying, by blaming someone else. And here we are told that lying and blaming are the jobs of dishonest people. Alama Imam Fakhruddin Muhammad bin Umar Razi rahmatullah ta'ala stated that the above mentioned blessed verse is a concrete proof on this thing, that lying, listen to this, lying is the greatest of the major sins and the worst of all evils, because only that person can dare to speak a lie and blame others who do not believe in the signs of Allah. Or that a person who is a non-Muslim and the condemnation of Allah with such strict words is a severe warning from Allah. So here we're saying that, you know, that it's one of the greatest sins that, you know, you don't have that faith inside you, you do not believe in the signs of you, of Allah, if you lie. And it's something that we need to ponder over and think to ourselves, that do I, don't I, when, how, you know, if we want to try and live our lives, then we need to think before we speak, contemplate on our actions. Think that if I do this, what will I achieve? And it's not just about speaking, it's about doing and everything that we do in our life. If I go to this place, will I get the happiness of Allah? Or is there a chance that I could obtain the wrath of Allah, astaghfirullah? If I do this, will my Rabb, my Creator, be pleased with me? If I do this, will my Creator be unhappy with me? And we need to make that judgment and we need to have that knowledge. We need to know what Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to do. We need to know what Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered us to do. We need to know what Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered us to stay away from. And this is where knowledge is very, very important. My dear Islam brothers and viewers, we need to have that knowledge. You know, nowadays you have the knowledge of what can cause your cholesterol to get high. You have the knowledge of what can cause you to get diabetes. All of these physical illnesses, you know that if I drink too many fizzy drinks, then there's a risk I might get diabetes. If I have, you know, fatty food, then my cholesterol levels are going to go high. If I do this, I'm going to put weight on. If I do this and I do this. And we're aware of all of these things. We're aware of all of the symptoms for these diseases, these physical diseases. But we're not aware of the symptoms that cause these spiritual diseases. We're not aware of the fact that we have these spiritual diseases. You know, cholesterol, for example, is an illness that sometimes you can't even tell that you got it. You can't tell by looking at a person that that person has cholesterol. You can't tell by looking at a person that that person has diabetes. In the same way, you can't tell by looking at a person that that person commits the sin of lying, backbiting, stealing, or whatever it is. But when it comes to cholesterol, when it comes to diabetes or these other diseases, we try and find out. And then we refrain from things. We refrain from certain things because we know that this could be harmful to us. We refrain from them sweet cakes and them fizzy drinks because we know that it could cause our sugar levels to go all over the place. We refrain from them fatty foods because we know it could cause us to have cholesterol. In the same way, we should refrain from those gatherings in which we know that futile talk is going to take place. We know in them gatherings that lying is going to take place, backbiting is going to take place, gossiping is going to take place. Stay away from them places. Why are you putting yourself in that predicament? You know, if someone was to put a load of cream cakes in front of me, yeah, loads of cream cakes, I'd be tempted, wouldn't I? I'd say, you know, it's just one, isn't it? Well, I'll just have one cake. I'll just have one cake. And I'll just have one cream cake because, you know, they look nice, don't they? In the same way, if there was none here, then there's less the risk. I'm not going to say, oh, you know what, there's no cream cakes here. Let me go and find a cream cake. It takes a little bit more effort. In the same way, you know, being in them gatherings, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in a gathering in which Allah and His Rasul are not mentioned, the zikr of Allah doesn't take place, salutations are not sent upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that gathering could become a burden for you. And it is up to the will of Allah whether He punishes you or forgives you for what happens in that gathering. Think to yourself, the gatherings that we sit in, where we're talking with people and sitting with people, what happens in them gatherings? You know, we're just generally saying, how are you okay, everything okay? And again, just saying, how are you okay? No, I'm not okay. You know, I'm taking all this medication, I've just been to the doctors this week. Again, you're putting people in a position where they're effectively lying to you. They're not okay. They've got physical problems. They've got mental problems. They've got personal problems. They've got problems at home. They've got problems with family. You know, normally you say, oh, is everything okay? Family okay? Children okay? And it becomes a formality. It's like, it comes almost off the tip of your tongue. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you? Your family okay? Kids okay? Everything okay? Yeah, okay. Job's okay? Yeah, okay. And then you get to your point. Just give salam. Just give the salam. Yeah, and do a dua for them, if anything. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that everything is okay. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless you. And then get to your point. Rather than, you know, is everything okay? Your kids okay? Family okay? Yes, spouse okay? Everything okay? No problem? Job's okay? Yeah, my part? Okay, okay. And we say it's okay because it's a formality. And if the person, he feels obliged, alhamdulillah ji, alhamdulillah, everything's okay. But it's not. In very few people, it's not. So why are we putting this burden on people? Why we put this burden on people to do this? And at the same time, we should stay away from this. So there's two parts to this. There's the part where we put ourselves in a position where we end up lying. And there's the part where we put other people in a position that they end up lying. And it's both of these things that we need to be careful from. And it comes down to this. Controlling this. Thinking before we speak. Unfortunately, we don't. You know, they say, put your...
your brain into gear before you know, use your tongue, but we don't. And what happens as a result of this, we commit the sin of lying. And we need to be very wary of that. If, for example, you realize you have, then repent. Repent straight away. You know, again, that is something that, again, it's a completely separate topic, but repentance is something where sometimes we feel, nah, we'll do it later. And what happens is if you commit the sin of lying and you realize you are wrong, you realize you lied, you didn't repent, then that sin becomes like a seed in the ground. And the longer that seed stays in the ground, it starts to gather roots. The roots start to spread. And then it was a sin that you committed yesterday. Then it was a sin that you committed last week. It was lying that you did last week. It was lying that you did last month. It was lying that you did last year. So, you know, I don't need to repent now. That mindset comes, I don't need to repent because it was a year ago. It was 2 years ago. It was 5 years ago. I don't need to repent now. And what's happened is that seed of the sin that's gone into the ground, it's spread. And what happens is you don't feel the need to repent anymore. And this is why the pious people said that if you commit a sin, repent straight away. Because Shaitan doesn't want you to repent. Shaitan wants that seed to go in the ground. Shaitan wants that seed of sin to go in the ground and the roots to spread. But we need to repent. So there's so many things I'm saying to you at the moment, and please forgive me if I'm, you know, going here and there off the topic, but I think it's important to discuss these things, to be aware of these things, to ponder over these things. And you know, we can only here on Madri Channel advise you. You are the ones that need to ponder over your lives. You are the ones that need to effectively, in the same way that when you go to the doctor and you get a health check. I was in Pakistan when we went to the Tarbiyat Nishist in Karachi, and we, you know, mashallah, we were blessed with the sessions with the Shura, and also we're blessed with, mashallah, seeing Abi Lusnat, the founder of Dawah Islami. But whilst I was there, I had a full blood test and checked my cholesterol and my sugars and my iron and all these other things they checked. And what happens is when you get these medical reports, you look at them. All right, okay, that's a bit borderline, isn't it? You know, I need to do something about that. Yeah. I need to cut down on my fatty foods, you know, because I'm getting close to the borderline. Or I've not got enough iron. Maybe I need to, or I've not got enough vitamin D. Maybe I need to get vitamin D tablets, or maybe I need to get out in the sun. And you make adjustments to your life. You adjust your life because depending on these results. Now, what we need to do as Muslims, we need to do, a test of our heart. You know, do I commit the sin of lying, backbiting, swearing, cheating, gossiping, and all these sins that we become aware of? And the thing is with this, it's a little bit different because you are the doctor. You are the one that's going to do the test. You are the one that's going to determine the result. And you know, we're talking about lying today. You are the one that needs to be honest with yourself. Because the worst thing we can do is lie to ourselves. That no, there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing wrong. I'm fine. You know, that even medically, they will say that if there's a medical report, I'm fine. Nothing. Don't worry about it. Then we know that's going to be detrimental to our health. In the same way, when it comes to these diseases of the heart, if we lie to it, I'm not affected by lying. I'm not affected by swearing. I never swear. I never cheat. I never backbite. I never do this. I do it. And you're lying to yourself. Now, who's going to be the loser when you lie to yourself? You're going to become the loser. So we need to ponder over this. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now, inshallah. We're going to go to the reminder of the day, inshallah. And when we come back from the reminder of the day, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sayyiduna Shaykh Faqih Abu Al-Lays Samarqandi rahimahullahu ta'ala has said, the dua of three are not accepted. Number one, whoever eats haram. Number two, whoever excessively backbites. And number three, whoever has jealousy towards another Muslims. Here is a blessed narration from the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that whoever sits in his home and does not backbite to another Muslims, Allah azza wa jal is his guarantor for paradise. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. It is narrated that on the night of Mi'raj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam passed by some people over whom some individuals had been placed. Some of these individuals were trying to open the mouths of these people, and others were cutting their flesh and stuffing it into their mouths along with its blood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam asked Jibrail alaihi salatu wasalam, "O Jibrail, who are these people?" The Jibrail alaihi salatu wasalam replied, "They are those who would backbite other people's and pick out faults in them." Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has said, "He who performs salah properly, whose household is large, has more members, and provisions are limited, and does not backbite other Muslims, he and I will be like this in paradise." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam put his index finger and middle finger together. Dear viewers of Madani channel, the above mentioned hadith mention a method to gain the neighborhood of beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in paradise. Subhanallah azza wa jal, the greatness of paradise is truly marvelous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from backbiting and give us the neighborhood of beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Ameen. بجاه النبي الأمين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. The beautiful reminder there, and again, before the break, we're talking about, you know, the diseases of the heart, and that was just another one that was mentioned there, backbiting. And many people will not even know what backbiting is. You know, in the same way that if you were to say to, I don't know, like a 10-year-old child, 11-year-old, 12, you know, that, are you aware of cholesterol? They won't know. Are you aware of diabetes? No. Are you aware of vitamin D deficiency? Are you aware of this? They won't know. But what happens is as they grow up, they become more and more aware, and they'll read up about these things. You know, how many of us have read about the harmful effects of an unhealthy diet? Many of us have read about this. Many of us have read the harmful effects of eating fatty foods. Many of us have read or are aware of the harmful effects of fizzy drinks and all these things. How did this happen? It didn't just get plugged in. You know, it wasn't just downloaded and button was downloaded. No, we went away and we found out about it. Or we listened to people talk in the same way that beautiful reminder was talking about backbiting. Today we're talking about lying. These are the things that we need to become aware of, these things. And that is the first problem, becoming aware. Aware of something. Because you cannot treat something unless you become aware of the symptoms. You cannot treat something unless you admit to yourself that you've got this problem. You just can't do it. You know, there's a saying in English, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force the horse to drink water. In the same way that unless you yourself realize, in the case of the horse, if the horse doesn't realize, look, I need to drink water, so I'd better drink it even though water's in front of me. The knowledge of the deen is in front of you. MashaAllah, Madani Channel's here. Dawat Islam is here to provide you with these tools, to provide you with these resources, to empower you so that you can protect yourself. But it is upon us now to do this. Coming back to the topic of the day, my dear viewers of my channel. Blessed sayings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to lying. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that speaking the truth is a virtue, and virtue leads to Jannah. Subhanallah. Lying is a sin, and lying leads to the hellfire. Astaghfirullah. Simple formula, no rocket science in that. Simple. Speaking the truth is a blessing, leads to paradise. Lying is a sin, leads to the hellfire. You don't need, you know, a huge tafsir on this. You don't need to sit with many scholars to understand this. Very simple. Speaking the truth is a blessing. Inshallah, takes you to paradise. Lying is a sin, leads you to the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala is reported to have said that undoubtedly truthfulness leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to Jannah. Allahu Akbar. And undoubtedly the person who continues speaking the truth until he becomes a truthful person. But then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala also goes on to say, falsehood leads to sin, and sin leads to hell. And a man may continue speaking lies until he's recorded as a great liar before Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know, that what also happens is, in even in society, people become known as truthful people. People become known as liars. You know, it doesn't take long. I remember my father, my blessed father, he's passed away now. May Allah Azza wa Jalla rest his soul and enable him to attain paradise without accountability. When I was young, maybe, you know, before I was even 10, 6, 7, 8, he said to me, son, liars don't have any feet. Right? What does that mean? And he didn't explain it to me. He didn't explain it to me at that time. He just said, liars don't have any feet. Enough, eh? And then what happened was, there was someone that openly lied in front of me and my father. You know, there was an open lie. And I said, you know, this person's, afterwards I said to my father, well, that person's got feet. He was lying. And he explained to me. He said to me that a person that lies, the meaning is that he doesn't have feet, that he can't run. Eventually he'll get caught. Eventually he'll get found out. Because what happens is, when you lie, then what happens is you have to lie again to protect that lie. And then you have to lie again to protect that lie. And you're lying and lying and lying. Inshallah, we've now got the hadith of the day. Let's go to the hadith of the day. And when we come back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, what is lying as a joke? What are the consequences of this? Let's listen to this hadith. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, destruction is for the person who speaks and lies to make people laugh. Destruction is for him. Destruction is for him. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, a person speaks and he does so merely to make people laugh. Because of it, he falls into such a depth of hell whose distance is more than that of heaven and earth. And the slip up that happens because of the tongue is much more than the slip up that occurs from the foot. Now this is a hadith from Shu'b al-Iman. Sayyidina Allama Abdul Ra'uf Munawi rahmatullah has written that Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad al-Ghazali rahimahullah has said, here the point to make others laugh refers to such a point which contains the aspect of backbiting and hurting a Muslim or some other sin. Otherwise, this warning is not against a mere joke. The viewers of Madani Channel, these people who do comedy shows and who lie during these comedies are very sinful. A very, very, very bad ending has been described for them in this hadith. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, refrain from joking which contains hurting other Muslims or lying or any other form of sin, for this can also lead us to the consequence which has been narrated in the hadith. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. In this program today, viewers of Mother Channel, so far we've been talking about the evil consequences of lying, the destruction of lying, the things that cause us to lie. And before the break, we give you beautiful hadiths, which were very clear. Lying is a sin, and it leads you to the hellfire. Simple as that. Simple as that. And I think if we understand nothing from today's program, then we need to understand that. I think if we talk about, I think in one of the early packages on the backbiting, where we had the reminder, it also mentioned in the destruction of someone that commits the sin of backbiting. And I'm going to give you now one of the destructions that if a person commits the sin of lying, what is going to happen to him? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, he said, in my dream, a person came to me and requested, accompany me. I accompanied him, and I saw two people at a place, one of whom was standing and the second one was sitting. The one who was standing had a hook made of steel in his hand, which he would put into one jaw of the man who was sitting, and he would pull them to rip up to his neck. He would then take them out and put them into the other jaw and drag them in the same way. In the meantime, the first jaw would restore to the normal condition. I asked the person who brought me, what is this? The person replied, this is a liar and he will be punished in this way in the grave until the day of judgment. Why? Because he was a liar. Sayyidina Hatim Asim Rahmatullah Ta'ala has declared, he said, it has been relayed to us that a liar will change into a dog in the hellfire. One who envies will change into a pig, and the backbiter will change into a monkey. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I think, and I keep reiterating this, we need to become aware of these problems. Today we're talking about lying. Tomorrow we'll be talking about backbiting. We'll be talking about all these, but we need to become aware of them. And the, you know, Dawah Islam is giving you those tools to become aware of them. If you attend the weekly ijtima that takes place every week here in the UK or all around the world, the Brothers Ijtima traditionally takes place every Thursday night. And here in the UK, there are more than, I think, 50 ijtimas for the brothers. And alhamdulillah, nearly 200 ijtimas for the sisters that are taking place every single week. Now, the sisters' ijtima take place on different days, but the brothers take place mainly on the Thursday night and some at the weekend as well, and some during the week. But majority of them are on Thursday night. Attend them weekly ijtimas. Listen to the speech. Listen to the sunnah-inspired speech that, and guide there. At the end, there's the study circles in which you learn the du'as and you learn brief sunnahs as well. You know, we need to become aware of this. We need to have this knowledge of these sins and be able to protect ourselves. Because if you do not know something, then you can't protect yourself from it. If I do not know, like I keep on coming back to sugar and cholesterol, if I do not know that, you know, eating all of these sugary cakes will affect me, then I'll continue to eat them. Why? Because it's nice. You know, and what happens is when people commit a sin, they enjoy it. You know, for example, and you say, well, how can you possibly enjoy lying? What happens is people, they'll sit in a gathering where, you know, everyone's sitting there. And what happens is that, you know, after the initial sitting of how are you and what's happening, how's work, then what happens is it's almost expected that someone will mention something, tell you something. Now, he will either gossip or he will tell you a story. If he's gossiping, again, it's a sin. If he's slandering, again, it's a sin. If he's backbiting, again, if it's a sin. If he's telling a story and he exaggerates in that story, then again, it's a sin. So all of these things become a means of committing this sin. And what happens is sometimes when we're joking with people, we commit a sin of lying. When we're telling someone a story, we'll exaggerate the sin of lying because we want to make it more interesting, don't we? We don't want to make it, you know, we want everybody to laugh at this story. We want everybody to be shocked at this story. We want everybody to be scared at this story. So we've got to exaggerate it a little bit, haven't we? You know, and we just put a little, they'll say we put a little bit of spices on it. You spice up the story. But by spicing up that story, how much untruth, how many lies have you included now in that story to make it a better story? Now, you may have achieved what you wanted to achieve. And you wanted to achieve that people would be interested in your story. People would laugh at your story. People would be astonished at your story. People would be scared at your story. You've achieved that. But what else have you achieved? What else have you achieved? You've achieved this sin. How many sins only you will know? How many sins have you committed just to achieve that appreciation amongst your friends? You've achieved that appreciation amongst your friends, yet you've committed the sin of lying so many times. And again, so many times we lie without any reason. There's no reason to lie. People will say, you know, I have to lie. But you know, when you look at it, you don't have to lie. But then what happens is we lie for no reason whatsoever. You're sitting at home, you're watching TV, you've got the remote in your hand, the phone rings. You know, I'm going to have to answer this. Yeah, I'm at work at the moment. Yeah, I won't be home until late. No. Okay, see you later. You lied to him. Yeah, I'm in town. You've lied to him. And what also happens is the problem with you lying, you know, it's like a disease. You know, diseases spread. You know, and lying is a contagious disease. And I'll explain why. That what happens is if you're in your home, and that example that I just give you, you lie, your children are watching. Okay. I understand. And they will start lying. You taught them that. How many times have people knocked at people's doors and the kid will say to the son, son, go to the door, but tell him I'm not in. Don't tell him I'm in the house. Yeah? And the child will go to the front door and say, my dad's not in. That child knows he's lying. Because you told him to lie. You've never given him permission to lie. You taught him that. And this disease of lying then spreads that everybody starts lying. And then it's hard to pick out the truth. And then you become known as dishonest people, as we mentioned earlier on. And even when you do speak the truth, people won't believe you. There are certain individuals, and you will know them, that no matter what they say, you will not believe them. Why? Because they become known as dishonest people. And yet there are other people that no matter what they say, you will believe them. Why? Because they become known as honest people. Now, what is the difference between these two? Lying and truth. Those that lie become known as dishonest people. People don't want to know them. People don't trust them. People don't want to know them effectively. And what happens is we are teaching our children to lie. You know, we've even had it where, you know, you've gone and knocked on the door and the kids open the door and you said to the kid, is your dad in? Yeah, but he's told me to tell you that he's not in. But this happens. This happens. And we're, again, what are they getting this from? What we need to do is we need to teach our children to speak the truth. We need to encourage them to speak the truth. Like from a young age, my father used to scare me. He used to say, you know, if you're not speaking the truth, I'll find out. I'll find out. And I remember once my uncle, he said to me that, you know, I've been told that you were at a certain place. And I said, no, I wasn't. And I did a qasam. And I did a qasam on the name of Allah. And I was only young, maybe 10, 11. And he said to me, beta, you know, speak the truth, but don't swear on the name of Allah. Don't do that qasam on the name of Allah. And he said, you know, beta, I believe you. You know, I believe you, but never do that. And, you know, I used to be scared about lying because my parents used to scare me. My father used to say to me, you know what, I'll find out. And I grew up now thinking, you know, he would have never found out. But at that time, I didn't know that. I didn't know that at that time. And that's what we need to be aware of our children, that don't lie, because if you lie, I'll find out. If you lie, I will find out. Sooner or later, I will find out. So don't lie. And teach them that. Teach them the benefits of speaking the truth. Again, that's something that we don't do. And I've used this example many times on Mother and Child, that if something happens in your household that shouldn't happen for argument's sake, and you want to find out who did it or what happened, and the children are scared of speaking the truth, people are scared of speaking the truth in the household, then you should encourage them to speak the truth. Don't worry, it's okay. Just tell me the truth. Just tell me the truth. Don't worry, nothing's going to happen, but at least tell me the truth. And then when they build up the courage, because you've now encouraged them to speak the truth, don't punish them for speaking the truth. Say to them, okay, at least you spoke the truth. Now, let's solve this problem. But you know what? I'm happy with you today. Why am I happy with you? Because you spoke the truth. And if it is one of your children that you've encouraged to speak the truth and they have spoken the truth, then reward them. You know, my son, my beta, my daughter, I'm so happy with you today. Mashallah. Yeah, you shouldn't have done that. And if you should be careful that you don't do that. But you know what? More importantly, you spoke the truth. Yeah, let's go and get a takeaway. Let's go and get something. Let's go. Treat them, children. Now what have you taught that child? Now what lesson did you teach? You taught that child the lesson of speaking the truth and the reward in speaking the truth, that it is beneficial in speaking the truth. Well, unfortunately, we teach our children the opposite. And that is something that we need to be very, very wary of. Fuse of my channel, we're going to go to a small break now. We have a small cartoon for you. Now, what happens is a lot of the time when the cartoons come, the Ghulam Rasool, the Kanis Fatima cartoons come on Mother Channel, we kind of like switch off because we think, yeah, it's not for me now, it's just for the kids. Yeah? It's just for them, it's not for me. You know, when the speaker comes back, I'll start listening again, but it's nothing to do with me now. I can check my messages on my phone, I can do this. But in every cartoon that Dawat Islami has created, there is a lesson for all of us, not just for the kids. We are talking here today that we are talking about bringing up our children and encouraging them not to lie. But again, we need to learn that as well. So when these, I don't even know the topic of what is in the cartoon today, but I'm sure it'll be something that we can benefit from. So let's go to this cartoon of the day. And inshallah, when we come back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
While returning from the masjid, Nadeem surprisingly asked his father, "Dad, why do people like the Imam Sahib so much?" His father stopped at his front garden, pointed towards the flowers, and asked Nadeem, "Why do we like these flowers?" Nadeem promptly replied back, saying, "Because these flowers are beautiful and they smell very nice." After entering the house, his father continued the conversation and said, "Dear son, you saw beautiful flowers outside and you like them because of their beauty. Hence, one of the reasons for something we like is its beauty also. Beautiful words and good manners also play a vital role in order to make our behavior beautiful and to make us the apple of everyone's eyes." Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, "Kulu Linnasi Husna," translation from Kanzul Iman, "and speak good words to people." Dear Nadeem, the people like the Imam Sahib because he always speaks good and always extends good manners with everyone. Nadeem asked, "How can one learn to speak nice?" Dear son, we speak what we think. If we think well, we speak good. And likewise, bad thinking will lead us to speak bad. Hence, think positive about everything. This will help you to speak well and you will also be liked by people. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, translation from Kanzul Iman, "and speak good words to people." Here, good words are referred to invitation towards righteousness and forbidding from evils. It includes all shapes and forms of invitation towards righteousness, like delivering an Islamic speech, teaching an Islamic lesson, and advising someone for goodness, etc. In addition to that, good words also include mentioning the glory of Allah, status of the Prophet of Allah, and the friends of Allah, and also advising people about good and bad.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and today we're talking about the evil consequences of lying. You know, whatever we do in this world, the consequences of that will catch up with us. If we do a good deed, if we do something good, then we'll have a good outcome. If we do something bad, then that will catch up with us and we'll have a bad outcome. But sometimes what happens is we see people and we think, you know what, that person's always lying. But look at his house. Look at his car. Look at what he's got. Look at all these things that he's got. And yet you're saying to me that he's lying, he's going to have a bad outcome. He's lying, he's a sinner. But look at his life. Look at what he's got. And then you see the pious person, the truthful person. Because there are people that believe that you cannot be a businessman unless you are dishonest. That you have to lie when you sell something. And so you see the honest person and he's struggling. He's not got the same house that this guy's got. He's not got the same car. He's not got the same bank balance. He's not got all them sort of things. And yet you say that someone who speaks good will have a positive outcome and someone who speaks bad will have a negative outcome. But look here. But again, what we need to understand, viewers of Mother Child, that if it's not in this dunya, then it'll definitely be in the akhirat. And that is something that we need to ponder and be aware of that. Now, that is, again, something that we put to the back of our minds and we forget about. We think, no, forget about it. Stop thinking about dying. Stop thinking about the grave. Stop thinking about the afterlife. Stop thinking about crossing the bridge of Sirat. Stop thinking about the judgment day. Stop thinking about the hellfire. Stop thinking about all these things. I want to live my life. And that again is lying to ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. We're putting a curtain over it, a blanket over it, and pretending it doesn't exist. And by pretending something doesn't exist, you're lying to yourself. By saying to yourself that, you know, I'll worry about it later. How can you say that? How can you say that? So be worried of the fact that, you know, when you commit any sin, and we're talking today about lying, it will catch up with you. It will catch up with you. And if it doesn't catch up with you in this dunya, it'll catch up with you in the afterlife as well. And you will be held accountable for that. The Prophet of Allah has reported to have said that when a person speaks a lie, The angel moves a mile away from its foul smell. The smell of lying. You're going to say, well, I can't smell it. You know, you say to me that people are lying. I can't have this foul smell of lying. I can't smell it. Yes, you can't. I agree with you. And there's a reason why you can't. It's because the stench of lying is so much around us that it's just we've become immune to it. It's just normal to us. We don't know what proper, clean, fresh, purified, sinless air is like. We don't know. Because it's so much around us. In another hadith, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that telling a lie is the greatest treachery. In another hadith, lying, Allahu Akbar, astaghfirullah, lying is opposite to iman. What is iman? Iman is faith. To have that faith. And here the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying the lying is opposite to that. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, destruction is for the one who speaks lies to make people laugh. Like I said earlier on, you tell someone a joke, you tell someone a story, you make them laugh. Destruction is for the one who speaks lies to make people laugh. In another hadith, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, whoever lies in order to make people laugh falls into the hell at a distance more than the distance between the sky and the earth. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person's face turns dark due to lying. Again, something that we don't think, oh, well, he's got a white face, he doesn't lie, and that person's got a dark face, he must be lying. No. This dark face, this, you know, it could happen in the grave that his face will turn black and everything. We don't know. Saying a false thing is a major sin. Again, simple sayings from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we should all try and understand. Telling a lie is one of the signs of a hypocrite. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of judgment, liars will be included amongst the most hated people in the sight of Allah. The most hated people in the sight of Allah will be those who lie. Allahu Akbar. In the same way that there's this destruction of lying that I think we've tried to hit home a little bit, there's also benefits in speaking the truth. Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah Ta'ala stated that whoever becomes habitual of speaking the truth, Allah Azza wa Jalla will make him pious. Allahu Akbar. You want to become pious? You want to become a good person? Speak the truth. And we see from that hadith that we mentioned right at the beginning that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, never lie, speak the truth. And what happened was he refrained from alcohol, he refrained from adultery, he refrained from stealing. Why? By speaking the truth. And here the Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullah ta'ala is saying that whoever becomes habitual of speaking the truth, Allah azza wa jalla makes that person pious. A person who speaks the truth, he will develop a habit of carrying out good deeds. By the blessings of speaking the truth, he will remain pious and righteous until he dies. He will refrain from all evils. He will become truthful before Allah and he will have a safe end. What is a safe end? What is a safe end, viewers of Mother Channel? A safe end is the end that we should all wish for, do dua for. A safe end is a person that dies with his iman intact. And if we speak the truth, then inshallah azza wa jal will die with that iman intact. Because no matter how many good deeds you have performed, if at that crucial moment in your life, you die without iman, then you've lost it all. So that is a very crucial moment that, you know, shaitan will come and try and take your iman away from you. At that crucial moment, it will convince you that what you believed was wrong, believe something else. And that is a crucial moment to hold on to your iman. And we are told here that those people who become truthful before Allah Azza wa Jal, they will have a safe end. We are also told that a person who remains truthful, he will remain safe from all kinds of torments. He attains all kinds of rewards and the people of the world recognize him to be truthful and righteous. And he has reverence and honor in the hearts of people. Like I said, people look up to people. They respect people who are truthful and honorable. They look up to them. You know, all of these people, and I don't want to mention the categories of people that are dishonest in the job that they do, people don't respect them. Yes, they might fear them. They might fear them, but they don't respect them. They don't respect these people that are in positions of authority, and yet they lie. People don't respect them. Yes, they might fear them. Yes, they might associate themselves with them to get their own personal benefit out of them. But deep down, they don't respect them. It is stated that the truth is such a nur, which is a source of guidance for the truth speakers. The more divine proximity they attain, the more nur they acquire. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is the benefits of speaking the truth. But again, if you're a Muslim, we need to be careful in many, many different aspects of our lives. You know, I've seen people that they'll tell a lie to the children. And at that moment in time, that child believes it's the truth. The child looks up to the parents that whatever my mom and dad do, it's right. Whatever my mom and dad say, it's the truth. They believe everything. So when you say, oh, a big dog's coming, get to sleep. Oh, police are coming, you need to go to sleep. Oh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And, you know, if you don't do your homework, the police are going to come. If you don't, you're lying to them, you're scaring them. And what happens is, as the child grows up and realizes that you lied to them, then he thinks, well, you know, if my mom and dad did it to me when I was purely very, very innocent, then it must be all right. It must be all right because my mom and dad did it to me. They lied to me. Yeah. They'll, when they grow up, they realize there's no such thing as the bogeyman or all these things that you mentioned before. And what will happen is now, you know, they say, oh, there's a ghost behind the curtain. There's this, you know, and go to sleep or else. And them children will do that. And again, just by saying to your children, look, if you do this, I'll give you that. And then when they do it and you don't give it them, then you've lied to them. So when you make a promise to a child, fulfill that promise. I remember one of the Mubaliks on Madani Channel, he said to me, mashallah, he's a Hafiz, and he said to me that his father promised him that, beta, when you become a Hafiz, I will send you on Umrah. And he became a Hafiz. But at that time, his father wasn't financially capable of sending him on the Umrah. So his uncle, to make sure that his brother fulfilled the promise that he made to his son, he gave his brother the money to send his son on the Umrah. Allahu Akbar. So again, you know, if you want to encourage your children, if you want to reward your children, then see it through. But don't lie to them. Because every time you lie, you're teaching your children that this is the thing that we need to do. You're teaching them that what they need to do is lie to get on in life. How many people will say that in their life that if you want to have a business, you have to lie. You cannot be an honest businessman. And you see so many times where it doesn't happen so much in this country, but when you go abroad in any of those countries where haggling takes place and they'll haggle for something and they say, you know, how much do you want for this £20? And you say, I'll give you £10. Oh, it costs me more than that. It costs me more than that. I can't sell it. No, well, I'm only going to give you £10. Well, give me £15. No, I'll only give you £10. And eventually he gives you it for £10 and you think, but he said it cost him more than that. He's not going to make a loss. So he must be making profit. So he must be lying. So why are we lying? Why are we lying? Said, you should just say, look, I want £15 for it, that's it. Don't lie. You know, when people are selling goods, they lie. Has this car ever been damaged? No. Is there any problems with this car? No. Just say to them, look, I don't know. I don't know. There's the car. See it. Check it. Why are we lying to people about the quality of goods? When we're selling goods, or nowadays, the online world, people are selling goods all around the world and they're selling it online and people are lying to them. That this is what this does, this is what this does, this is this battery, this. And you're lying to these people. Why are we lying to these people? To attain a few pennies? To attain a few pennies, you've got that extra bit of money. Do you not know how much of a burden them extra pennies will be on the Day of Judgment as a result of you lying to attain that money? Are you not aware of the punishments? If you're not, then you need to be aware. You need to get this knowledge. You need to be aware of these things. And I keep on stressing this, views, we need to acquire this knowledge. Knowledge to protect ourselves, knowledge to protect our iman, knowledge that inshallah, that when that time comes, when the angel of death comes to us, that we all die with iman. That on the Day of Judgment, that we are amongst those fortunate individuals that have lived our lives in such a way that Allah Azza wa Jal enables us to enter paradise without accountability. Do we not want to be amongst those people? Do we not want to attain paradise? Again, we lie to ourselves. When we say no, or we say, we'll worry about it later, I'll think about it. Why are you thinking about it later? Why are you lying to yourself? Who can guarantee that they have a later? When is later? You know, someone said to me, and this fits so many aspects of your life. If not now, then when? If not now, then when? If you're not going to start reading your salah, now then when? If you're not going to start fasting, now then when? If you're not going to go on hajj now when you can afford it, then when? If you're not going to stop committing sins, now then when? And when, how do you know that when is going to come? How long have you got? You don't know, so don't wait for when. Do it now. And this is something that we need to realize in our lives. Life is very, very short. Life is so short, you will not believe it. I was recently in Pakistan and a 15-year-old boy, 4 or 5 months ago, he's running around the streets. Alhamdulillah, he used to go and read his prayers 5 times a day, go to the masjid. Got a brain tumor. 4 months later, he passed away. That can happen to anybody. That can happen to you, it can happen to me. So when? When are we going to sort ourselves out? When are we going to live our lives in such a way that Allah is pleased with? When are we going to stop committing the sin of lying? When are we going to stop committing the sin of cheating? When are we going to stop committing the sin of backbiting, swearing? All these sins that if you watch Madri channel or you attend the weekly Ijtima, you'll become aware of. If not now, then when? We just got a small fun promo. Inshallah, we're going to watch that. And then when we come back, I'm going to do a little bit of flip on the topic. Then when is it permissible to lie? And we'll very quickly talk about that after this fun promo. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Da'wat Islami, a global non-political movement, has spread the message of Quran and Sunnah across the globe. Through the great works of Da'wat Islami are many beautiful departments such as Jamiatul Madina, Madrasatul Madina, Madani Channel, New Muslim Department, Quddamul Masajid, and many more. With the works of a big organization, your help and donations are needed. The Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, Sadaqah extinguishes sins just as water extinguishes fire. Don't delay, donate today. This is your Dawat-e-Islami.
Dawat-e-Islami UK Madani Channel. Sort code 309773. Account number 4363450. IBAN GB67LOYD 309773436 3450. BIC LOYD GB21087. Your donation can be used for any permissible religious, reformatory, welfare, well-wishing, spiritual, and good purpose.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, a very brief appeal there. And I think it's advisable that all of us spend some of the money that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us in the way of Allah. And if you were to set up a standing order, a direct debit, that every month a certain amount of money goes out of your account and funds this great project that's in front of you. You know, this Madri channel, no subscription, no advertisements, nothing at all, runs purely on your donations. And think about the reward that you'll get in the court of Allah, that for every minute on this Madri channel, someone is benefiting from it. You know, we try our best that we utilize every single moment of the day to spread the message of Quran and Sunnah to the masses all around the world. So please set up a standing order so that you can continue to attain the rewards. Before the break, I made a quick statement. When is it permissible to lie? All this, for the last hour and a half, I've been talking about, you know, that you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't lie. Now in these last few moments, I'm going to tell you when it is permissible to lie. If any cruel person wants to kill an innocent person or wants to hurt him, and that innocent person is hidden due to the fear of being killed, and if the cruel man asks you about his whereabouts and you know where he is, You know where he is, that you can pretend now not to know. You can lie now and say, I don't know where he is. Why? Because you are protecting that person. So in this particular instance, it is permissible for you to lie. If somebody is entrusted with someone's trust and the cruel person with an evil intention asks about that trust, he can refuse by pretending to have nothing. For example, someone's given you some gold, some money to look after, right? And someone comes to you and says, did they give the gold to you? And you know that this person has an evil intention, that he wants to try and rob you. No, he's not giving it to me. I don't know anything about it. I don't know. Similarly, if there is a rift between two Muslims and someone wants to mediate, he can comment before an individual that he knows you very well and praises you or has sent you salam and commented in the same way in front of the second person so that the enmity and hostility is removed and there is peace between both of them. Meaning if two people are falling out and you go to this person and say, you know what, he was giving you salam. He was saying such good things about you. Alhamdulillah, yeah, he was praising you. And then you go to this person and say, this person was giving you salam. And all of this that you're doing is lying. But what is your intention? To bring these two brothers back. To reconcile with these two brothers. Because they don't want to see each other. They don't want to look at each other. But by you going to him and say, look, he's talking good about you. And you going to him and say, he's talking good about you. You know what? I think I'll go and see him. You mediate. You know, let's sit down together. Right? Let's sit down together and hopefully these differences can be removed. Finally, even saying something untrue to your wife to make her happy will also not be lying. Allahu Akbar. How important is that? To keep your spouse happy, to keep your wife happy, even if you have to lie in front of her. You know, I don't know whether I should say this, but like sometimes, you know, they'll say, do I look fat in this? Do I look nice in this? And you say, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Alhamdulillah, you look nice. Now, you may, inside you, be lying. But you are lying to make her happy. And this is permissible. So today's program, Alhamdulillah, we talked about the evil consequences of lying. We talked about the ill effect of lying. I think we've understood a little bit about certain aspects in our life where we lie, where there is definitely, where there's never a need to lie. But there's lie without zero benefit. Zero benefit whatsoever. And how, as a result of us lying, this lying becomes an infectious disease and everybody becomes gets this disease and starts lying themselves. So please protect yourself from this illness. Become aware of these diseases. Keep watching Madani Channel and learn about the knowledge of the deen and acquire those tools, those resources. Empower yourself to protect your iman. You've been watching on Madani Channel, Rise and Shine. Until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.